grandest of risings to all of you. This is Kimberly Michael, that white girl. To all my kings, queens, gods, and goddesses,
hello. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for sharing time with me.
You guys know that I'm grateful and appreciative of it. I have a special guest on today. I am more than honored to share time with him. His name is Shakir Lawrence. He is with, or the creator, I should say, of BIT Magazine, which is B-I-T-T, Being Influenced Through Time. He comes from a diverse background, and he's incredibly brilliant, and I'm more than honored and grateful that he took the time to be on the podcast. We got some big announcements coming up as well too, so I want to introduce him promptly so that he can get talking about who he is and what he's got going on. Shakir, how are you?
How are you? I'm fine, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm grateful. You heard what I said. I'm so grateful that you have the time to do this and that you are, you know, want to be involved in this type of movement. And, you know, I appreciate all the work that you're doing from what you're already doing. And then to be able to, you know, collaborate with me, I think it's going to be a big, huge movement between us as well, too. So I'm excited that you're here and grateful that you can, you know, talk to us about what's going on.
Right. Okay.
So just give a little background about you, if you don't mind. Just tell us, you know, who you are and how you and your wife started this magazine and, you know, a little bit of background, if you will.
Okay. I can never, you know, be on such a wonderful platform or such a broad platform as the podcast, That White Girl, without, you know, giving props, accolades, and shout outs to my wife, Tracy Mitchell Lawrence, my wife, who alongside me is the co-owner of BIT Magazine and BIT as a movement, which BIT is the acronym for Being Influenced Through Time. Two, I would like to give shouts out and, you know, accolades to my daughter, Nyla Lawrence. I love you. AKA Gold. The place where I'm from, which is the home of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of America, and home to the Philadelphia Eagles. Go Eagles. And my neighborhood, which is Richard Oliver Projects, that I grew up in. Now, to give a little background on myself, you know, the Richard Island Projects is one of the worst housing developments in Philadelphia, known for its violent behavior. It has a reputation, not only in Philadelphia but around the world, of being one of the most violent neighborhoods, you know, in America.
Wow.
Which, you know, as a child growing up, my mom working, you know, several jobs, and me and my brother left to, you know, be by ourselves to navigate through such a neighborhood. We were indoctrinated and adopted the ideology of, you know, the street mentality, which is filled with, you know, the infestation of, you know, drugs, prostitution, womanizing, imbalance, you know, things of that nature. So, growing up in this environment has landed me in a position where I experienced incarceration several times. Now, being able to reflect on my life as a result of you know, being incarcerated, I came across, you know, many men and women who needed a voice, who needed a platform, to sort of promulgate what they had experienced, and didn't want other people to experience. So this is how Bit Magazine, you know, came to fruition. Once again, the acronym in itself speaks volumes. Being influenced through time. You could be influenced through time of the birth of a baby. You could be influenced through time of a death of a family member. You could be influenced through time, you know, of graduation of a son or a daughter. It crossed various barriers, and we choose to highlight the nuances, the intricate activity that goes on in impoverished neighborhoods.
Let me jump in and say specifically, because we talked about this and I posted it too, and I think the verbiage that we used collectively was that you know, go to the belly of impoverished neighborhoods, people, lives. I should really say lifestyles. You go to the most impoverished of lifestyles, and you find the extraordinary, in the people, the everyday people, and that's where is that accurate? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. Without a doubt. Once again, Bit as a magazine, you know, is the kaleidoscope of poverty, mirroring the intricate activities recorded in real life circumstances. Now you have many Michael Jordans in impoverished neighborhoods. You have many LeBron James in impoverished neighborhoods. You have many Floyd Mayweathers in impoverished neighborhoods. You have many Serena Williams in impoverished neighborhoods. And I don't think that's, you know, highlighted to the point where as though it make people wanna continue to, you know, go to these you know, neighborhoods and recruit these kids that really need it. You see, everybody speaks about providing opportunity for people, but it's kind of hard to get to the opportunity if you don't know how to utilize the tools and resources that's available to you. A lot of times we talk about tools and resources being available, but just because they exist doesn't mean that we know how to utilize them or we recognize them, especially when we are in a position where economic tools and resources are hidden from us. They're sort of like, you know, like the Easter egg hunt. You know, if you able to find it, then you're able to find the golden egg, then you're gonna be the one that are most focused on and brought to the surface of opulence. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, they choose the commodities from each of the neighborhood, and what you are doing is going beyond the commodities and looking at the actual people, because just like you spoke of the people that you spoke about, there's also Shakir Lawrence and there's also Tracy Mitchell Lawrence. You know what I'm saying? There's also Kimberly Michael Schneiders, and there are people that are important and extraordinary in their own right. And they have gifts and they have and that are never, you know, maybe fully, they're extinguished early. I'll say it that way. They're extinguished early. You know, they're not spoke. The life isn't spoken into them. It's spoken out of them. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's why what you're doing is so important, because there are, each one of us is extraordinary. The problem is not all of us feel that or know that. And because we don't see it, there was a she is alive and well, and I do follow her, and her name is Jane Elliott. And one day she was speaking to a group of people. She's a white lady, of course, and she said to the group of people, she said, all the white people in here, you know, if you want to change places with a black person, stand up. If you want to live, you know, be black. Nobody stood up. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all must have not heard what I said. What I said was, if right. anybody here wants to switch lives with a black person, please stand up. Right. And nobody stood up again, of course, you know. And she said, this is the problem. Because this is how you look at black folks. And you said it so eloquently just now. Like, you know, we're looking beyond. You know, you're looking beyond that people don't want to come into the neighborhood because Michael Jordan was from there. People don't want to come in the neighborhood because Mayweather was from there. You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I'm going to say this real quick. I had a conversation, if you will, with a dude on Facebook about community activism and blah 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 and this and that and the other. And his comment to me was, I accused him, I'm just gonna be blunt, I accused him of being racist and saying racist things. He said, you don't know me. He said, why don't you ask my kids in the inner city about me that I work with every day? Right. And I said, oh, how about I do this? When's the last time your daughter or your son went and spent the night in the inner city with the kids that you work for? When's the last time you went to their home and went up in the projects in the inner city and had a barbecue at their house and smoked out with them and had a drink and sat down and talked to them about what they want and what they need and what they're looking for and who they are as people? You know what I'm saying? And this is the disconnect, I think. You know, people think they're not one way or that they see everything, and they don't. They see a little bit of it. And I think personally, that's your exposure. You're exposing what they don't see and what they don't understand and right. who they don't see.
Right, right. I am that. But to yes. what I've come to understand and able to acquire is a profound understanding is that racism is going to exist regardless of, you know, how much we may want it to not exist, you know, regardless of how much work we put in to, you know, admonish it, abolish it, is still going to exist. Here's the thing. The United States of America, right? And I'm gonna go into politics a little bit, but I'm also you know, get back on track with, you know, what BIT is doing.
Yes.
America is built on racism and dysfunction. So if things were to be functional and not based off of race, America would no longer exist.
Wow.
So the philosophy, right, of America, which was, you know, presented by the English philosopher John Locke, and he was an understudent of Aristotle, a Greek philosopher, right? The premier objective of the political system was to, you know, enhance the liberty of individuals, you know, to make their way, you know, without interference of the government. But
right.
when this was created, the African Americans wasn't included in that.
Right.
Unless we write a whole new constitution with right. the implementation of the social civil and economic well-beings of African Americans added,
right,
we're still operating off of this same philosophy. They're just amendments, right, which can, right, always be, you know, you know, changed. You see what, right, I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know you don't want to go too far off on that, even though we're gonna do a lot of touching on that sort of thing moving forward together. So Bit Magazine, we'll definitely get back to that, because like I said, I need, for me, it's important. You know, the reason that I have guests on my show is not only for education of me, because I, you know, I've said it before, I'm as uneducated as it comes. You know, I don't have an extensive knowledge of history. I don't have an extensive knowledge of politics. I don't have all, what I have though is this heart, and that's what leads me. And I see other people's heart. I know you know that about me. We talk about our energy and that sort of thing, and that's why. Right now, my main focus is I need people, at least I would love them to see your heart as I see it. So I because I want people to be able to look at my business partners, at my friends, at my family, and be able to see them for who they are. That's why I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? So they can see past all of that. And, right, you know, I've spent a lot of time with you this week. We have talked literally, you know, hours on end, and it has been important. It has been vital. We have covered everything from, you know, the Treaty of Paris, the Constitution, the Declaration, the amendments. I mean, your magazine, your wife, your life, and vice versa for me too. We've covered everything, and you know, that's definitely what I want to people to understand and see. You know, is how important this movement is to you, and what all that it encompasses, because it doesn't just encompass showing people who people, as far as they consider everyday people, are in their extraordinary ways. Also, there's some other things you got going on as well too. So, you know, I'd love for you to, you know, touch on, you know, what that is and what you're trying to, or what you are doing right now.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Let me sort of discuss, you know, things parallel to politics, because I need to land a point when I do so.
Okay,
as it pertains to, you know, African Americans, we have some responsibility on how we are to, you know, overcome these obstacles as well. So I'm trying to raise awareness, you know, to the demographic of people that are a part of statistics, you know, as it pertains to municipalities, you know, and communities, you know, as it pertains to voter suffrage, I'm no scholar in politics either.
Right.
I just happen to become interested in all of the decisions that I've made that landed me, you know,
right,
in unfavorable and unorthodox circumstances.
Right.
That affected my lives and the lives of others, and I needed to understand that, and it started with philosophy. So studying philosophy, and
right,
you know, Congress, you know, and this is what took, right, took me, you know, my interest into the laws, you know, of how the Constitution works, how the government is structured, you know,
right,
and the institutions that implement, you know, the policy. So
exactly,
you know, exactly. Congress have, they hold annual, and I'm a title them as interventions, you know, for the impoverished,
right?
But they seem to never invite the people who the invention the intervention is for. And the meeting, we're not at the round table. So, so they have these cleaned up, you know, politicians and businessmen and women who really no longer have a stake in these neighborhoods and communities. They're just connected to the culture because of their the color of their skin, you know, ethnicity. So I'm trying to be effective in that realm, and I'm coming to the table. I'm coming to knock on the door to let them know that, you know, so we're going to show up. We're going to show up. It's because I see the political games that be that are being played with our lives due to, you know, subsidies, you know, you know, welfare programs, you know, benefit in kind, you know, things to the likes of that, and they allocate these funds to people who really aren't doing what's necessary to help poverty,
to help
reform. So this is where, you know, it, as a woman is coming in, and what I want to state for the record is that we're not coming, and we're not angry. We're not trying to overthrow the government. We're not, you know, coming to, you know, protest with you know, with the energy of anger. We trying to do it, you know, in a civil manner, in an intelligent manner. But here's the thing: the Constitution doesn't only speak to what government can do; it also speaks to what government can't do. So let's talk about it. Let's really talk about it. Not only talk about it. Let's go ahead and begin to dissect the subcategories of law of the amendments. Because this is the only way that's going to be done. We need to really know what's in it for us and how can we use it. If not, then we are going to continue to allow these people to abuse us. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. With the laws.
Yep, exactly. And we talked about that. And I think what we said was that the understanding needs to be how effective the amendments are for white folks and how ineffective they are for black folks. And that needs to come to you know, that needs to be the, you know, the forefront. Like, you need to, let's look at this, let's tear it apart, let's dissect it, so you understand how we all know there's injustice, but how is there injustice? How is there injustice? Okay, we get the main focus of it. We understand, you know, murders and sentencing that's wrong. We get all that, but why and how? Where is that coming from? How can they do this legally? And if they're not doing it legally, then we need to know why it's illegal, so that we have you cannot fight against an invisible entity. And that's what I think, you know, a lot of people are doing, and especially in the impoverished, you know, in relationship to an impoverished lifestyle. And I'm going to keep saying lifestyle because I don't want it to be about, you know, a person or a race or what, because impoverished people are impoverished, period. Where, you know, like 92% of the population is impoverished. So,
let me say this, right? I'm a person, man, where I understand that color exists, but I don't see color when I interact with people. I see human beings. Now, I don't want people to get that misconstrued, right? Once again, I don't operate off of racism. But I know that it exists. I don't operate off of hate, but I know that it exists.
Right.
That as a you know, publication is you know, controlling our own narrative.
Right.
Narrative. So, you know, we can show our own images. We can show our own news, and it not just be about deaths that are in these neighborhoods, because just like I tell you, there are great things that are happening in these impoverished neighborhoods. There are heroes that need to be, you know, celebrated. Yes. They need to be promulgated. Their ideology, their work needs to be highlighted.
Exactly.
Now, too, I want the people to know and understand that I am a person who experienced the streets on just about every level of ignorance that there is. Part by choice and part by the environment being the place that I grew up and adopted the characteristics you know, where I live.
Now, yeah, you're socialized into that mentality. I mean, absolutely.
So it doesn't necessarily mean this is what I wanted to do.
Right.
These are things that I've done out of survival, out of necessity, out of fear, out of trauma, out of abuse. So I got this thing. They say they you know, the opulent class, you know, the elite class. They say they use the term post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes, they do.
My term is Project Streets. Hold on, let me see. Projects, Trauma, Streets Disorder.
Got you. Got you. That makes sense. And it makes sense. It makes sense. And we've talked about this before, actually, you and I, because, and this is a good lead into, I think, telling people, you know, moving forward, what I've been hyping everybody up, like, we're going to do something. Y'all need to know. Y'all need to pay attention. Because I didn't come from the streets. And I don't have the same background as you have. But I have the same trauma. And I have, or I shouldn't say same. I should say I have similar trauma. I've had the effects of trauma. I've had the effects of abuse. I've had the effects of my life that created, if you will, the elite term of PTSD. So this is the, I think what created the energy between us is because even though we came from such vast and different lifestyles, that now where we are utilizing all that abuse, all that trauma, all that pain, and we're creating something beautiful. You know, and we're showing people, you know, who we are, and we show each other who we are, because even though it was not the same, it was still trauma. Even though it wasn't the same, it was still pain. Even though it wasn't the same, it was still abuse. You know, and I speak that a lot, like, people always want to compare pain. It's, we're not here to compare pain, because pain is pain, regardless of where that came from. What this, it's about what you do with yourself. Do you grow from that pain? Do you grow bigger? Do you grow greater? Or do you grow less of a person? And do you grow deeper into that pain and that trauma and that abuse? You know what I'm saying? And I think you and I are at a place where we're trying, not trying, we are, we have, and we are continually growing from that. And I think that's what a lot of what our premise is moving forward. You know, Do you want to make an, you know, tell everybody what we planning on doing? You want me to tell what you want to do? What you want to do? I think we should tell people what our future looks like for Bit Magazine and That White Girl right now.
Oh man, the future looks bright. So yes, we're going to collaborate on a couple ventures. You know, one being a book, one being a podcast, and potentially a documentary called The Best of Both Worlds, Rural White and Urban Black.
Yes.
You know, so we're trying to stop with the, you know, conversation of trying to show the contrast and show the similarities.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
To show how much we get along, to show how much we need each other.
Right.
You know, how much it'd be better for everybody if we were to collaborate mm-hmm. like this all over the world and not
right.
just here.
Right, just not on this podcast. Exactly. We are, you know, we, again, I know I've said this before, but so people understand, we're not just up here talking. We have, you know, had conversation after conversation. I'm going to say every day for 7 or 8 days, like, you know,
right.
repeated conversations. And we've got to know each other as intimately as we can via the phone, and our backgrounds and some of our pain, some of our joys, that sort of thing. And our intention, you know, so that everyone knows the first thing that we're stepping out is we're going to do a series. It's going to be Bit Magazine on my podcast, of course. And we're going to do a series, if you will. The series is basically about us commingling and us, you know, bringing out the brutal truth of who we are and how we operate, so that people can see that, like you said, racism is always going to exist. We're not going to be able to squash that. It's at a level that is generational at this point, you know, mixed in with white supremacy and the mindset and it being generational and all of these things, that's never going to be. But what we can offer and what we are offering and what we think that we are going to be able to show people is how me and Shakir have gotten along, how we are able to do business together, how we are able to collaborate together, how we're able to move together, how our energy can co-mingle and we can do these things. And we're not looking at each other for what is in our skin. We're looking at each other for our hearts, and we're showing people that it's possible, so that more, you know, I know this isn't your premise, but on my side of it, on the That Girl White side, I need people to see that there is collaboration. I need people to want to be involved with Black folks. I need them to want to be, you know, collaborate. I need them to want to be in business. I need them to want and desire and understand we are all just people. We are. We want the same things. You want to be loved. I want to be loved. We want families. We want kids. We want grandkids. We want stability. We want peace. That's not any different door to door because it's an impoverished community or a Black community or a white community. We all bleed and want for the same things. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's important what we have decided to do so that people can see, which is why it will turn into a book and it will turn into a documentary. Because right now you're hearing us. We want you to see us, and we want you to feel us, and we want you to understand, you know, we want you to feel how important, how urgent it is for this to happen now in this moment. Mindsets need to change for everything to change. Individual mindsets, collective mindsets, group mindsets. People need to understand that regardless of the background, we don't have the same background, but we have done some beautiful shit this week. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
we have really done some beautiful things, you know?
And let me say this, right? The number one motivator in the world is pain.
Mm-hmm.
Then great. Love. And I'm going to tell you why. If you put your hand on something hot, what is the reaction? You don't have to answer that. I just want you to
right. Think about it.
That for a minute.
Right.
Right.
When that's the physical element of it. On the emotional side, when somebody does you wrong, whether it be a partner in love, whether it be congressmen and women with the Constitution, whether it be a police officer who's patrolling your community, you're going to be motivated to do something,
right?
And that's a great thing. But what we don't want to do is use that motivation to be ignorant or to do something violent. We want to use that motivation to convert that into something beautiful, something special.
Absolutely.
I'm a poor figure making risk decisions, a street hustler converting into a businessman. Now let me say this about that. There are a lot of extraordinary people, even as illicit street hustlers, right? A lot of people who commit illicit crimes, right?
Right.
Not heinous.
Right.
Things like, you know, selling drugs, right?
Right, right.
They are conducting the activities of business. And these are the titles that we get sentenced under when we are in front of the judge.
Right.
Distributing, manufacturing.
Right.
Business word, enterprise.
Business word. Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
But now what I'm trying, what Bit is doing is we showing the talents of the illicit hustlers to get them to convert to legal entrepreneurs. We're trying to, you know, show them the business structure. You understand what I'm saying? How to utilize the tools and resources that's available to them. So,
right.
I just wanted to put that on the record. I know we
We are, and that's I literally don't want to say another word, because what you are saying is so important, and it goes right back to what you initially talked about, is your not what you're trying to do, what you are doing, which is changing the narrative. People that are in this impoverished communities, and they're doing things out of need. You got to feed your babies. You got to bring home some food. You got to have some gas in the car for somebody to go to work. You have to have these things. And when it gets to the point where you're doing something, I don't even think that sometimes the people that are doing what they're doing understand that they are running a business. I don't even, because you know why? Because we're not instilling that mindset. And I think, well, I know that that's what you're doing. And that's what is so important about this, not only what you're doing, but what I'm doing. That's my purpose too. I need the mindset to change. I need that mindset to kick in. I need you to think about your truth and what that looks like. And what I'm fighting for is that mindset to be created within the Black community, so that they can see that. And you're in the impoverished community, so you don't have a focus on unnecessarily race. And that's why, again, this collaboration is so important between us, because again, we not standing up here saying we agree on that, we doing the same exact thing, but what the basis, the foundation that we're building, that's what's important. We need to be able to build economy on top of a foundation, and without that initial foundation, without Black folks and impoverished people believing in themselves and changing the narrative, it's not going to happen. And that's why we here. That's why me and you, and then I'm gonna say it to my audience, to our audience, that's why we are doing what we're doing. We want you to challenge your truth. We want you to create a dialogue. We want you to start speaking to each other differently. You know, speak life into one another, love one another.
I got one more thing I need to say.
Okay.
All right, listen. If you listen to the words, United States, that's within itself. If you understand linguistics and words, right, and mm-hmm. verbiage, mm-hmm. we should be focused on competing as a country. Like, right. how can we compete with countries like China, who has mm-hmm. the greatest population in the world? Mm-hmm. If we are divided, just leaving one demographic of the American people to do the mm-hmm. workforce, we're not going to be competitive in future right. Ventures as it pertains to global economics. Right. Exactly. It's bigger than any race or culture.
Right.
We talking about continents, you know, that are filled exactly. with, you know, this is for the betterment of humanity.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Absolutely. 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 So we're gonna shut it down. I don't even know what to say to you. Thank you. It just doesn't seem like enough. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, because our conversations are so involved and they're so deep and they're so important. And
that's,
you know,
why we're doing the series.
Yeah, you know, and I truly love your mind, and I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm grateful that you've given me the time, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. I feel like we both on the same, you know, journey for our collaboration. You got your own individual journey and I got mine, but you know, on this collaboration, I feel like it it's really going to be important, like it's really going to be seen, it's really going to be heard, and you know, again, I'm grateful to you for that. I appreciate your mind, I appreciate your focus, I appreciate, you know, you keep me on track sometimes, you know, and I kick it back. Well, did you look up so and so? I'm showing you my pages. You know, we really doing work. We putting in time. We putting in effort, and you know, and I'm grateful that you came on the show, and I'm excited for the future. I mean, like, ecstatic for the future. You know, for our collaboration and whatnot. So,
thanks. You know, thanks for having me, and I want to thank all the listeners, man. And you know, feel free to, you know, once again chime in with your thoughts, suggestions, comments, opinions, and constructive criticism. And yeah. you know, we look forward to y'all breaking down the, you know, amendments to the Constitution with us. Mm-hmm. And I love y'all. I love you too. I love you, that white girl. I love this, man. I appreciate it, man. I needed this, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of Shakir Lawrence's information is on my page. Also, his beautiful and brilliant wife, Tracy Mitchell Lawrence. She has a group too, and I'm gonna be posting all of her information as well too. You know, reach out, learn people, listen to them, see what they have to say, and challenge your truth and challenge theirs too. I mean, challenge us, get us talking. Please get us talking, because you know, we got some stuff to say. So you know, to all the people that follow me, to all the people that have been here, to all the people that send messages to me, and you know, as always, I am truly grateful for you. Without each one of you, and without you listening to me and listening to us and hearing it, we're not effective. You know, you create the effectiveness in us. So you know, thank everybody for showing up. I'll be posting the podcast. I'm on 7 different platforms now, which is super exciting. So, you know, any avenue you need to be on to do it, absolutely. And all of Shakir's information, again, will be on my page. Thank y'all for showing up, and be great. I believe in each one of you. Bye, Shakir. Bye-bye.